notified by TSA this morning that they'll be bringing eight of their officers, deploying eight of their officers that they move around the country in different situations based on need, and they'll be here next Sunday. So through July 27th, and want to give Congressman Gates and Senator Scott a lot of credit for that, for picking up the phone and answering the bell for us.
Mayor D.C. Reeves talking during last week's city council meeting about the strike team of random roving TSA agents that's going to come help bail out our stressed system here in Pensacola. Joining us now by phone, we have D.C. is out of the country, so we're talking to Matt Coughlin. He is the former commanding officer at NES Pensacola, or NES Whitingfield, excuse me. He was also the assistant county administrator here in Escambia, but then he returned to being the airport director, where he now safely resides. Matt, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you doing today?
I'm good. My producer, Jimmy, asked me what music to use for you, and I said, play Wagner, he'll get a chuckle out of that.
That's awesome.
As a former Hilo pilot yourself. Okay, so let's talk about this strike team. It sounds like this is kind of available labor force to do exactly what we're requesting be done, which is to staff up our TSA. Is that right?
Exactly. They call it a national deployment force. And
They do use the word force in it. That's great. Okay. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, they actually, they have TSOs, the security officers around the country that volunteer part of the program, and then they can deploy them when or where they're needed. And in our particular case, they're sending eight to us. The other thing we ask for, too, is we ask for the TSA to do kind of a optimization study on our queuing, our equipment, the teams there, just to make sure that their operation is operating as efficient as possible. And we'll go from there and hopefully see some positive results. You know, they're struggling with resourcing too, and their employment, their force, their workforce. So it's a struggle for them, and that's one of the things we're seeing here. And we're not unique either. There's a lot of areas around the country that are suffering from this.
It's a temporary thing, right? I think, is it 2 months that they're going to be here? Is there of course, that's good during the high season for tourism. I like that. But is there a plan in place other than temporary bump and hopefully they do a study on our use of resources? I mean, what happens when they leave? We're back to where we are now?
No. So they're in the process of, they've increased their manning allotment for Pensacola.
Oh.
So they're in the process of hiring permanent employees to work here. So they're going to be increasing that. I don't have the exact number, but working with the federal security director, he notified me that they are hiring. They're pushing hard to hire folks. Again, they're having issues with their workforce. So, but they did get their authorization to hire more bodies here at Pensacola.
Oh, well, that's great news. Okay, so they've basically expanded the number of jobs that we're going to have, and now in the meantime, while we're trying to hire them, this is the temporary stopgap measure to kind of staff up, but not on a permanent basis. Okay, that makes sense. Is it an infrastructure need too? I mean, labor is part of the equation, and obviously new terminal, we're looking at that, working on that long term. But is there infrastructure need too, or is it really like just staffing should be adequate, other than what the study might reveal?
I believe if they're operating fully manned and their operation is efficient, then we don't have an infrastructure problem. However, obviously, going there, we're getting days where we're getting, anywhere from 5-6 in the summer. We expect to see 7,000 employments coming through there. And depending on, we try to work the schedules, depending on those schedules, you might get a compression of people coming through at a given time.
Sure.
Then it could be infrastructure. But I believe if we take care of the manning issues, the efficiency issues, their equipment issues that they have now and then, that we should be able to operate in a manner that's suitable for our customers.
I don't know the answer to this. I'm just guessing on what I think I know. But is this a problem also of the fact that you have high demand for TSA primarily at certain times of day, primarily in the mornings? And so it's not a constant demand throughout the day because of where we stand in the overall interaction with other airports and how our flights are structured. Am I thinking right about that?
You are. So if you look at our schedule, so I get a hourly forecast every day down to the exact number of what they expect to see for passengers coming in the door. So those lanes, we have four lanes. We try to do 150 people an hour, say, through each lane. So that gives us efficiently, we can do about 600 if they're all manned, all operating. What you see sometimes, though, depending on the flight schedule, you may get a compression for a couple hours where you might see 700 needing to be screened. And that's when they have to be at the top of their game. Those times are typically in the early morning and around, and they change every day, but sure. I would say 10 to 2, oftentimes you'll see a compression around those time frames.
Okay, well, that makes sense. I mean, if you're doing 7,000 emplanements a day, you know, roughly 10 hours of emplaning, let's say 700 is your max. I mean, I can start to see how the math works out that, you know, additional staff and an additional line, you know, theoretically might be needed at particular times, as you said. Very interesting. We're talking to Matt Coughlin. He is the airport director. Matt, one of the announcements that I think is either it's just pending. I think we've got a new airline coming, Breeze Airline, starting in June. Is that right?
Yeah, Breeze Airways starts June 28th, and we're going to have nonstop intra-Florida to Tampa, and then they add what they call a breeze-through flight. You can stay on the same airplane and go up to Norfolk. But that plane, when it comes to Pensacola, will be coming direct from Norfolk also. So it's kind of like I call it a round robin. Basically, Norfolk, Pensacola, Tampa, and then back up to Norfolk.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so you could just kind of get on and ride all day if you had that. It's like riding the bus or the train or something like that. Okay, so it's that constant circular route. That's interesting. I've not heard of other airlines doing that. Is that unique to them?
Yeah, they do. They coin it the breeze through. Every once in a while, you might be on the same aircraft.
So I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question that one of the listeners asked me to ask, which is, on the one hand, we are having problems with TSA screenings. You know, we're having throughput problems. On the other hand, we're expanding routes, which is expanding demand and service. How can we do both at the same time? Who's the genius that decided in a stressed infrastructure situation to add more cars, basically?
Well, that's a really good question. And, you know, it's a balancing act. You know, we're charged with providing service and travel choices for the community. And we're going to do our best to get those choices here and options, different airlines, different routes. And at the same time, we have to balance that against, you know, our situation where we're stressed, both in parking and just throughput in the building. So we work, you know, there's things you can do to mitigate that, you know, whether it's work with the airlines on their schedules. Sometimes that doesn't work out too well because they have pretty much set schedules. But there's other things you can do, and that's really what we do. And the other thing we do is we always have projects going on. For example, to meet the parking issue, we've done a lot of shuffling of parking lots, moving employees just to add capacity in the short term. But in the longer term, July 1st, we're building a new lot. Give us about probably a 10% increase in capacity.
Oh, where's that lot going to be?
The thing about airports, that's going to be the former grass lot over there on Tippin.
Oh, so, you're actually going to pave that lot. Okay.
It's going to be paid. It's going to have revenue control equipment. So we're going to be adding 450 stalls over there. And that should, you know, that'll buy us some time. So the thing about airports is it's just a constant project. It's one project or another, and it's to meet that demand. So that kind of helps mitigate the issue that you bring up there.
Okay. And then the last question I wanted to ask you is, I know the mayor had said recently that we did not qualify for the federal grant for the new terminal, which is another part of expanding capacity, which would bring all kinds of things along with it. What does that mean? Does that mean that we've suffered a setback? Does that mean we're just not at the right point in the cycle? Is this money we could still get in a subsequent? I'm not sure quite what it means that we didn't get this grant.
We didn't get it, what I'd say, this time. So every year they offer this program. It's part of the bill funding. It's the airport terminal program. And there's a lot of money being pumped into it from the federal government. So we've applied for it a couple times now. We didn't get it. Probably one of the reasons is it depends how far you are in the design and you meet the requirements and whatnot. But there's two more cycles of this coming up, too. We're going to be submitting this again in August. And so we're asking for about just north of $20 million. And so hopefully it'll look good to the FAA and they'll fund it. They know we have issues. Matter of fact, the airport district's office in Orlando has been very supportive. They're pushing it through themselves and they've been an advocate. So we feel pretty positive we'll eventually get it.
Okay, so it's not a no, it's a not yet, because there's a cycle and check marks, benchmarks you have to hit in order to qualify, and we just didn't quite get there this year, but we're hoping to get there for next year. Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me. I know you got Building 3 is coming with ST Engineering Aerospace. It's good to hear that we're building more new parking. I think we'll find that as soon as we build it, we need more, as you well know. But it's good to hear some of the things that are going on at the airport. And, oh, I said one last thing, but this is just the escalators and the elevators all work right. Remember, this was an issue the last couple of years, but everything has been refurbished and rebuilt, and we're all good. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Back to my point about constant projects, and the escalators in particular were one of those. And it was uncomfortable because you try to do those projects while you're trying to maintain operations. It can be difficult. But to answer your question, they're working great, and they're brand new. They had to literally manufacture them in place due to the size of the building and framework and all that. But we haven't had any issues with them at all. I mean, they've been very, very reliable.
Very good. Matt Coughlin, he is the airport director for the Pensacola International Airport. Matt, as always, thank you for the time. Thanks for doing what you do to keep our tourists and our business people and all the rest of us traveling safely through the airport, sir. I appreciate the work.
Thanks, Andrew. You have a great day.
Absolutely. 7:55.